What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. So yeah, we back with Eric Sermon.
Yeah.
Def Squad Studios. Question: Craig Mack.
Yeah.
How far back you go with Craig Mack?
Wow. Yeah, I went to so crazy, man. My first rap battle that I ever had was with Craig Mack. There's a flyer out there that says Eric Sermon and Craig Mack rap battle, and this kid named J Mos at a house.
Mm.
And that night was so epic. My mother had a Lincoln Mark V, so I could barely really see over the thing. You know, that car was so long, even though the Lincoln sunroof, because, I mean, you know, 8-track tape. And me and my sister went to the battle, packed downstairs. I met my DJ Diamond J, too. Downstairs at that party, too. He was the DJ that night. And Craig Mack had rhymed, but he used a beatbox.
Mm.
So it wasn't as strong as, you know, the DJ cutting my record up. So that night, you know, after that, we became friends. And Craig Mack used to get dropped off at my grandma's house. So during the beginning of the beginning of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back from the beginning before I even got famous. You know, we was just checking out records, listening to the Mr. Magic and Red Alert at nighttime, listening to new records.
So did you slide in there? You won the battle that night because he used the beatbox? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I did. Let's clarify.
Yeah,
I did.
And then over the years, we always heard that he was a part of EPMD, the crew.
Yeah. Because he was my friend.
Okay.
And then when I went on that Hit Squad tour in 92, I took him out with me.
Oh, okay.
So he came on tour with me for that first tour. And then I guess once when he went home, that's when him, Diamond, and them got together and made that Zoom 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 record.
Got you.
What's it called? Retarded?
Get Retarded.
So then fast forward about, what is it?
But also too, Craig Mack has always wanted to be with us.
Got you. Okay.
His whole thing was the funk, the whole thing. But what happened was when EPMD broke up, that was a window.
Yeah.
So during that time, you know, Alvin Tony and them had took him to Bad Boy, but Craig never was comfortable there. Even in the hype of it, as you can see, you know, you can hear all the stories and see the friction, the whole nine, but he always wanted to be his squad.
And, yeah, and then I guess, what is it, 92, 2 years later, the Flavor in Your Ear comes.
Yeah, 95, yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Because I knew the voice. So I was like, that sound like the troop. That sound like the same dude.
Right.
But I couldn't put it together. When you heard Flavor, did you hear Flavor in Your Ear prior to coming out?
I lost my mind.
Shout out to Easy Mo B.
Like everybody else, I saw the video first.
Oh yeah, yo.
You know, and
when the lights was coming down, yeah,
I couldn't believe it. That record was just, again, it was one of the illest records of that time. It was like, Funmatic Flex was saying it. He was like, yo, while Biggie and Craig Mack was out, he had told Puff, I played Flavor in the Ear at least 10 to 15 times in the tunnel. Mm. A lot of times, play one record.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You never heard the record before it came out?
Nah, never.
You saw the video just like us?
Yeah.
And you was like, oh shit, that's Craig?
Yeah, because I didn't see Craig in them. Don't forget, I moved to Atlanta.
Okay.
I was in Georgia. I didn't know what was going on in New York.
Okay. And then, like years later, he had Get Down was crazy.
Yeah, the one album. We only did the one. That was it.
The remix, Get Down remix, Q-Tip did that.
Yeah, but Flavor in the Air remix.
Flavor in Your Air remix. At this time, was you just starting to come back into the music or you still was on your hiatus?
No, I was still, I was in Georgia though.
Okay.
I was still rocking. I was still 95, 96, 97. That's when I was doing the Red Man. Then I did the El Nino, the Death Squad album.
Yeah.
I was still rolling. I didn't stop. I told you, I didn't stop doing records until 2002.
Got you. So why didn't y'all collab during his Bad Boy time?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what that was. You know, we just never got a chance to get back. Like I said before, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
So, and I never ran into him, which is crazy. Okay.
And then we seen him on the YouTube where he was, they were saying he's like in some cult or something like that. Did you ever try to reach out to him during that time?
Nah, somebody said they had spoke to him, but there was no reaching Craig Mack at the time.
Okay, okay.
There was no numbers or nothing like that where you can go and holler at him. So we just was like, you know, we wanted to know where he was at. That's on my personal, I was like, you know, it's just knowing that he was, you know, I wasn't mad because he did what he had to do. People do it all the time. But and when I saw it, it was just, again, hard to believe what you was watching.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, but there was no, still there's no reaching out on that level because where he was at is what that, you know, whatever that you call that, that's what he was confined at.
Got you. And then the last time we seen him, he didn't look like himself. He's sitting down, he's doing the interview, he has a cane, he looks darker.
Yeah, darker,
was he just completely sick at the time?
Yeah. I mean, he had to be because, again, don't forget, he passed away right afterwards.
Yeah. You know? Some one thing that I wanted to clear up, he was saying somebody wanted an album for him and was bullying him and all that stuff.
I don't know none of that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I just wanted to make sure that he wasn't talking about you.
Nah.
Because when I saw it, I was like, well, if Eric Sermon is doing an album for him, he's not talking about E, right?
Nah. The reason why I'm doing that. I have the ability to do a Craig Mack album is because the other friend is Lenny S, which is the also was recording Craig Mack's album.
Okay.
Was the engineer that was recording from the beginning.
Got you.
So he just happened to have like 10 songs of Craig Mack.
Got you.
And I was like, oh, word. So when, you know, you got Amp listening to, you know,
yeah,
acapellas.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
get
yeah,
Amp with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Once the acapellas came, I just started making beats for them. You know what I'm
got
saying?
You.
So then I called his wife, his whatever, and then had a talk with her and she gave me the okay.
So this is the funk that Craig Mack always talking about. He's about to get that.
Well, he got it with Easy Mo B.
No, but yeah. You the funk lord though.
Yeah, but I think it was more being down with the Hit Squad.
Okay.
I don't think it was like the music, because Craig knew how to pick the music.
Yeah.
It's the fact that he just wanted to be with us, because that's what he...
That was
Long Island, Brentwood, he wanted to be with us.
Moving on, rest in peace to Craig Mack. Hopefully, you know, we get to hear the album soon, 2019.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leo Cohen is under a lot of fire.
Mm-hmm.
He get called names. He get called a culture vulture.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Like, hey, man, I feel that people do have opinions and people had different relationships with Leo Cohen.
Okay.
You know, everybody's relationship is different. You know, I was with Leo from Rush Management. So that was from 1989. And I was with Def Jam to 1999.
Mm.
So, you know, I just felt like it was time for me to leave.
Okay.
You know, at the time where, because again, the Rockefellers that came in and, you know, Murder, Inc. And, you know, they had switched, it went to another whole situation. And we was got pushed to the back burner as far as, I guess what they call, you know, old school at the time. But, you know, we still was able, because after I left there, I went there and made music. You know, so I was like, nobody didn't want to believe, but, you know, we know I could still do this, you know. So I just left. I never really had no problems with him, you know.
Is it? Do you think people put too much emphasis on color in hip hop? As far as like, if you white, you automatically a culture vulture because you're so.
I think this is my really true situation. I think a culture is like this: if you was raised in that culture, then you part of the culture. It don't matter what color you is.
Okay.
Because you can't put hip hop but don't say Spanish. You can't, how can you, you know, not, when you look at breakdancing, graffiti, and MCs, the whole nine, you got to put them there too. Russell Simmons told me too, Eric, when you go outside and that curtain come back, 17,000 people know that your consumer is white America.
Mm.
There's not going to be a stadium or record sold without white America.
Mm.
So how do you Yeah. How you judge? I come from that era.
Yeah.
You know, you got you know, Beastie Boys were the Beastie Boys. They came in the same time.
Leo Cohen was there for that.
You know, they came in. But yeah. I'm saying, but you cannot, if this is what we was raised in, is the culture was what you was raised in, then that, I don't look at that. Now, if somebody taking, like, when I see our culture being talked about, not by us, I don't think that's cool.
Okay.
I think that our story should be told by us, because the majority of them wasn't there.
Got you. Got you.
That part gets me. That's why I like when I see documentaries or something that's done by somebody like us, either the rapper or either somebody that was in the culture.
Got you.
Not somebody who's just doing research.
Got you. Got you. Last question. Music. Where the hell, first of all, where you got that sample from? That was rare, right?
Well,
the acapella?
Yeah, my homegirl brought it back from London. Her name is Carolyn Roberts. She happened to be in London. And Midnight Love, that album, the last album, she knew I liked that album a whole lot. She found that album in London and brought it back to home. So that night she called me. I drove all the way to Park Slope, Brooklyn, picked it up, and came back home and made that record that night. I finished it at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Did you know you had one?
No, it wasn't that. My boy stole the record and brought it to L.A. Bernard Alexander stole the record and brought it to California. And then he went to a Clear Channel function and gave it to one of the program directors. So that record wasn't supposed to leave my basement.
Wow.
I didn't make the record for it. Nobody really understands that. I didn't make that record for me to have a single. I made the record for me personally to hear how it would sound if Marvin Gaye was here.
Wow. Wow. And you went through...
But I love him for doing it, though.
Yeah. And you went through all the channels with his family and everything, right?
Yep. His wife, Jan, and of course the sons and the other actress, the female, Nona, was already famous, you know, from Matrix and all that type of stuff and everything she was doing with Ali and everything, right?
She did music, too.
Right? Yeah, she did, too. But she was, like, already a famous actress. Yep. But I paid them, you know, $150,000 for the family and $50,000 for the lawyers. So the whole thing cost me $200,000, you know, but it was too late because the record was already playing. See, they already had the record going, so they was able to stick us up.
So you could have got it for lower if it wasn't a smash.
Yeah, if I was going for a sample clearance before it came out, but the record already was blowing and it didn't stop. So they was... You know, the lawyer, he did the right thing. But again, it made me money and then gave me another whole career of life that, you know, I couldn't have asked for. So $200,000 got me $4 million from Clive Davis, you know?
Woo. I ain't going from when that record came out, I think I played that shit like 10 times in a row because I was like, yo, this shit is just so dope.
I was in Miami, and that was for the spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being out there, and I remember me being at the hotel, and Baby from Cash Money stopping me, talking for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, Wardy, you got this, you got this. Then Outkast stopped me saying, yo, Eric, you got this. Somebody was talking to Pharrell on the phone, passed Pharrell the phone, Pharrell talking to me on the phone. I didn't know how big I was. I was number one in Miami at the time, but I couldn't go outside and walk 3 blocks. That's how big that record was. Biz Markie was DJing one night. He played the song 10 times one night.
Yeah.
That's how it was. It was so infectious. I didn't know what was going on.
The remix to Music. How come was no remix to Music?
I made a little remix. Put my boys on there. It was me, Keith Murray, Redman. We didn't promote it. I just did it.
That's what I was saying. Like, yeah, I always wanted, in my head, I
wanted to do a remix with Jill Scott. At the time, in my head, I saw something, you know, but again, it was moving too fast. By the time it was over.
Was that almost like a second career for you, that song?
It got me here now.
Yeah.
You know, that besides EPMD legacy.
I'm about to say, you would have been here anyway.
Yeah, but as far as to still have that youth that knows Eric Sermon.
These kids
know me for React, which is one of the biggest dance records that dancers dance to, and Music. They came back to back, 2001, 2002. Those two records secured me on for the the young people that are here now in their 30s to know who I am.
I liked I'm Hot, too.
Yeah.
I liked I'm Hot.
I think I pushed it.
With the Marvin Gaye? Yeah. You're OD. Yeah. Just Blaze did react?
Yes.
Didn't he...
$60,000, the most he ever got paid for a record.
Didn't he have an issue with that record, too?
He had an issue because he wanted to do it over. He wanted to mix it.
Okay.
And I gave him a shot, but I didn't like the way the mix he did came out. Producers, listen, I understand, man. You know how your record's supposed to sound, but the demo was better.
Got you.
So, but he got paid $60,000, and Ooh. Dame Dash, I heard, was like, "How the fuck you gonna give these this and that?" But again, I heard people had the song. The reason why the song worked, because I said, whatever she said, then I'm that. Nobody didn't know what to do with the song.
Because I didn't know what the fuck she was saying.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, but yeah. People had it. Red Meth had it. Jermaine Dupri had it. It was already, you know, if you look at some of the MTV things, Red Meth in the car is playing in the background. They had the record. But again, that too, he was able to stick me up because somebody gave Angie Martinez the record. And she was like, yo, somebody call Eric Sermon right now. His record is crazy. So now Hot 97 has a record. Boom. To get to stick you up. 60 grand.
Damn. How hard is it to rhyme over your beats?
That's what I've been doing my whole life.
But is it difficult? Because I know some producers who can't rhyme to their own shit.
Nah.
Oh.
Dr. Dre, me, the RZA, that's what we... It's a normality.
And I'm glad you said those names because... A lot of times, they have a category in hip-hop on the internet. The best producer MCs.
Right. Quick.
They
have it.
But your name is not in there a lot.
Right. People don't see me as a rapper.
How the fuck can they see you as a rapper?
Later on, they did. But now they didn't see me. They looked at my beats first. That was my main thing. Was I think 2004, Tigger the Basement is where I got noticed that Eric can rhyme, but before that, it was about the beat.
I liked the Shades of Lingo shit. You did a lot of shit that was just fucking dope. That made me look at you I looked at you as an MC from EPMD. Who's your favorite producer MC?
Yeah, I got
That's a real producer because, you know, some people got ghost producers and some people got people who write for them.
Damn it. You got me mixed up right now because I'm going to miss somebody. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. That they all, because all of them is ill. Yeah. Quick is ill. Dre is ill. Havoc is ill.
I like Diamond D.
Diamond D is ill. Yo. We're missing somebody, too. Pete Rock is ill.
But Lord Finesse. Showbiz.
That's another one, Showbiz, too. But there's somebody else that we're missing, too.
RZA.
The RZA.
Yeah.
Kanye West.
Out of all the ones I can say, too, and now J. Cole, as far as because I'm looking at, again, that other rhymer and ill-ass producer that I know about that was current, he's the main one, Kanye West.
Last question.
Kanye West and J. Cole, too.
Last question. Out of all the producers that's out, who you hear yourself in the most? Out of all time, like, who do you hear besides your crew, of course, and they might be under the influence, Rock or whoever is around you, that you hear and be like, I would do a beat like
that. I don't know. You know what's so crazy? This is my first time saying this, though. I knew Dilla but didn't know his music, right?
Uh-huh.
And...
Oh, we forgot about him too, MC producer.
Incredible.
Rhyme. Yeah.
And believe me, I don't want anybody to take this wrong though, because people talk about him all the time. But when I hear his music and the bass line and what he uses, it reminds me of me.
Mm.
But my name comes up more with Dre... They come up with him, and he's close. You know, of course, Rockwilder, but they's all in my camp. He said, you know, they all learned from me. But there's the guy from Eminem's camp.
Oh, Denon Porter.
Denon Porter, right.
Yeah.
This is another 1-2 records. Of course, no, you got, of course, Dre is what the one, but that Jay Dilla, I'm like, yo, nobody don't put me in the, I'm like, yo, we baseline driven. I'm doing that, you know? I think more of his choppings, trust me, phenomenal. Don't take me wrong, people. I'm saying that too. When I hear some of his stuff, I'm like, yo, I could have did that. Or that reminds me of me.
What does Denon Porter and Jay Dilla have in common?
The baseline stuff.
Detroit.
Oh, wow.
They both from the Midway. Both from Detroit.
Okay, my zip. Okay, yeah. Wow.
So you...
Okay, exactly.
Even the funk. You know, a lot of people give other areas credit for the funk, but George Clinton was from Jersey.
He was.
That's East Coast.
Everybody else was from the Midwest, though.
He
was from Jersey.
He was from Jersey.
Right.
So, yo, with that, I'm Doggy Diamonds. This is Doggy Diamonds No Filter. We about to tour the studio, show y'all the Def Squad studios, the compound, all the plaques on the wall, all the magazines, all the billboards, all of that.
Hey, Dean, I want to cut you up, but I just feel that whoever didn't interview with you yet, I think they should, because the way that you don't miss a beat on the questions, you would give a lot of people insight to an artist, and they would be like, okay,
thank you.
You know what I mean? Because you have to ask them questions to know who they really are and what they have done. Because then you can be like, you can have more, and you can be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to check that out now. You know what I'm saying? And other interviews don't give that insight. I want to be able to let that person know exactly who I am. And then, you know, even if it take 2 hours.
I always felt like after I do an interview with somebody, I want you to know who this person is. And if you didn't know, you're going to go look. Like me and Diamond just had a conversation off camera about Steve D, the DJ. He didn't think I knew that. So I was telling him, nah, that was the first time I saw what was probably be known as beat juggling. Now, he did it, and this is a new music seminar on Video Music Box. But I grew up as a little dude just really, really loving this hip-hop game and the culture. And I think a lot of people now are in it because they can be in it, but they don't love it. Like, love this shit. No. You never even made a dollar, and you love it.
L-O-V-E means, to me, too, the soul. We took the love, which is the soul, out of music. That part that you feel is gone. Right now, we're doing it because we can. But that's the main important part. That love, that feeling, that soul is gone.
How I don't know if you know this offhand. How fast does a healthy heart beat?
100 beats per minute, right?
Probably a little lower. Maybe like from
you mean unhealthy. Okay, yeah, it's supposed to be between 70 and
I think like 90.
And 90, right.
What's the best era of music?
Yeah,
the
90s.
What's the best tempo in music?
The 90s.
90 beats per minute. The 90s was the best era. And the best tempo is like the 90s.
Right.
Think about that shit. And that was when your heart is your soul.
But listen, let me tell you something too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you crazy. I don't know if you heard this before.
Uh-huh.
They said that the 120 beats per minute, whatever the heart when it's racing.
Uh-huh.
That beat works for them.
Mm.
Not trying to be racist though, but
yeah.
For that person can't catch a beat, that heartbeat works for them. That's where that came from for them to be able to enjoy themselves. Yo, no lie. I'm just getting where I got. I know it sounds crazy though, but Grandmaster Flash said it. Grandmaster Flash said it.
He just blame him. Like, face. Flash said it. Yeah.
I swear to God, he said, Eric, notice the pace and rhythm.
Yeah.
I'm only going what you're saying. He sound funny, but he said, what they did was take away the snare.
Because
they can't catch it. But they can catch a heartbeat.
But the snare.
Yo, I'm like, do you understand that?
Yeah. Now, the snare is important too, though. Snare is important. The snares would keep you on beat most of the time.
But that's why they say they took it out.
Wow.
Because you cannot not being able to catch a heartbeat.
You know what beat remind me of that? No snare. My mind right. Memphis Bleak.
Right.
This shit don't got no snare. So I guess that, because without the snare sometimes, it could fuck
that's
your vibe.
That's Twins and Rockwaller.
Yeah, about to say, that was the Twins, but you know,
without but in a way though.
They use the kick like a snare though.
Exactly.
They use the kick right, like a snare, right. But I know what you're saying.
That's about 100 beats and over, 120, yeah, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But what they doing now though, is what they doing now to get the quantizing, they double timing it. They might put it, when you want a 90 beats per minute, they'll put it at 180.
Yeah.
Then slow the quantizing instead of being on 1/8, they put it on 1/4.
Well, that's what I said before. You can do a beat, which is I guess whatever is trapped, can be at 70, but 140
exactly,
is double time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's another language we talking about right now. One day we'll get to that language and shit like that. So yo, this Doggy Diamonds, No Filter. You heard it from the man himself. If you didn't do an interview with me, nobody ain't gonna know who you are. Really.
Exactly.
That's just the realest.
I'm trying to catch that. I don't know. Like I said before, I know y'all had a dope talk, but 3 million views, like, in the beginning?
Yeah,
whoa, like, what did you and Ali talk about? Like,
nah, we talked about...
No, I saw it. I'm just saying,
you know, because with the industry, it's a lot of boogeymen in the industry. And I think a lot of times it gets thrown it gets shielded, but it exists. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure you had some horror stories, as far as business,
hell yeah, of course.
In the industry. You just spoke about.
Said it. What the record business is 1,080.
Yeah,
shady?
Record. That shit is crazy. 4,080.
I tell everybody right now, you can want to be in this game, but make sure you can handle this game. You have to have thick skin. You got to be able to take all that. That's why you see people, you know, Kurt Cobain offering themselves, or people doing massive drugs, or homeboy DJ AM still do, you know, overdose. No matter what, this game, right? You got to be built for this, man. This game will break you, especially now with the social media, with them people
on your comments and stuff
like that.
Yeah.
With you, or verbally getting at you, or telling you whack, or this and that, or putting rumors, or man, you got to be built for this.
How did you deal with? You got put in a lot of rumors.
Man, I'm 285. You know, niggas know whatever 6'3". I put that on the watch, like yo, and my partner too at the game. See, one thing about this thing too about whatever. They can speak what they want to speak, but they speaking that shit in the air around other people. But face to face, nobody ever stepped to me. Nobody never stepped to my. Not, this is not even boasting.
Yeah,
I never even went, because people knew all the women I was with. They knew that. Oh, that's a lie. They knew that. As far as the street shit you heard about me. Oh no, that's the Eric. He's not the one to be doing that to. So it didn't matter about that because it didn't affect me. None of my colleagues came to me, Doggy.
Uh-huh.
It didn't stop none of the what my life was. If that would have put a hold to my life, it would have been different. It never affected nothing with me. It was just out there. Same with the Britney Spears or everybody else. They still was doing $180 million. No matter what, everybody's going to hate. It's the catch-22. They're going to either like you or hate you. If they do hate you, if you're doing good, they hate you. If you're doing bad, they still hate you. It's a catch-22. Everybody ain't gonna like you. So what you do, you keep it moving.
Would you do Wendy Williams show?
You know, hey, yo, somebody asked me that. Like,
you know,
yo,
she got a show now.
And I'm like, yo, I'm like, yo, you goddamn right, I go on that show to promote. Shit.
Yeah. So Wendy, he'll do it.
Nah. She had said I was a friend of the show one time, this and that, whatever. Because she knew it was all. Because she went. That's why she went too far. She went too far with the Puffy and the. Then she started putting everybody's name out there. She started wilding. Now you can tell. But again. People like this, if you hear it on the radio, it's real. Yeah. If you see it in the paper, it's real. And there was no other story to go along with it.
But
I didn't know the human being don't care.
Yeah.
Even if there was nothing to go along with it, you think that you can't believe the story. There's nothing to collaborate it.
But what about, because they were saying it was an article where a rapper did an article. Yeah, he had green eyes.
Yeah, but the article wasn't about it didn't describe me.
But they said he had green eyes. Right. So that automatically, everybody's like, Eric Sermon.
That was it. It didn't describe me.
Yeah.
The other parts of the body didn't describe me.
Yeah.
Didn't say he was slim, had a body. I wish I had a body. But again, you see, that's why I say I fuck with Doggy Diamond. That's so crazy. Yeah. Just from that alone, it's not such and such, but bang.
It's Eric Sermon. Because green eyes. Yeah. But Fuck the fact that he's light-skinned and slim.
It doesn't matter.
Because you was never light-skinned and slim.
Man, shit. Yeah. I'd be the number one actor in the world right now, next to Denzel Wilder right now. Yeah. You crazy?
Why you never did no movies?
I just did, you know, I had the best 15-second scene in the world.
In Juice.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, I mean.
I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You see that actor's car? I turned around like, real slow, you crazy?
Yeah, you did Juice.
Oscar worthy right there.
But I always felt like y'all should have did movies.
But you know what, Doggy? This is where you come in at.
Oh, no, we're here. Scenes. Yeah, we're here. No, we're here.
Man make mistake, God doesn't. And every time somebody looks past you, and look past you, and look past you, your time is coming. And don't forget, now I get to live another whole life from a life I already had.
Three lives.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but now at the half a century, I get to go on from 50 over. Gotcha. Like, yo, check this out.
You know what I mean?
And still have stuff going on and not reaching for shit.
This is shit
that I got going on for real. Like, I do have technology with TrackLib. I do have a Netflix series come out on Netflix called 88 Fresh. I do have a speaker coming out with Lonnie Johnson.
Talk that shit. Go ahead.
With if you know Lonnie Johnson, the nigga who just got the money for the Super Soaker, which is he from Nassau with Tesla. He's one of the men with five patents in the world. I met with him, and I sat down with him. I can show you a text right now that I'm doing a speaker with him, a monitor with one of the men from NASA. Mm. I can tell you to Squad streaming. I don't got to go through nothing. Yeah. I go through my own streaming company.
Yeah.
I don't like to be boasting. I don't like to be boasting.
No, but you got to. Only when he rapping. Why y'all choose Bandcamp, though?
Well, because we don't have the technology yet as a title or to host yet.
Yeah, because that shit is expensive.
But I don't use, I don't know what I use. I thought Bandcamp was something to sell records out of. I don't use that for streaming.
Okay, but you could stream on Bandcamp.
Yeah, but I don't use that, though.
Okay. What do you want everything else, or is it something specific?
Nah, I'm on that. You gotta ask Josh about that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know you have a company, and then you go through the company, and then they put it on.
Exactly.
Okay.
Once I get that technology, as I really be, but in the meantime, everybody is subsidiary. Don't matter. We all go through somebody. You know what I'm saying? Until we get to that point. But right now, by me having my own company, I benefit.
Got you.
So I don't get shunted by the Spotify's and anybody else that's taking the money from me, mine's coming directly to me.
I want to ask you a question in front of Rockwilder. I know you probably don't want me to. Right. Who the fuck did Reservoir Dogs?
Rockwilder.
You admitting Rockwilder this time? You said you did it.
No, because I did finish up the record.
Okay.
But the initial situation was done by him.
Gotcha.
As far as was really another guy. That Pop is really our friend who brought it to Rockwilder, and then it ended up coming to me last.
Got you.
And then I gave it to Jay-Z.
So y'all sprinkle. But you know, truthfully, you are the producer then. You just didn't make the beat. Producer was the person who presented the record to the artist.
Yeah. But
that's what the original, because like Barry White was the producer.
Right. But that's the only one that they have put my name down so fast.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, before I even tell people, like, yo, this is what happened, you know? Bang. But I didn't want people to get it twisted, like, yo, this is what I do.
Yeah. You know? Like you're a beat jacket.
I need no one to do anything for the kid.
Yeah.
I'm involved in selling over 75 million albums. I don't need not a hat from no one.
Literally.
But at the time, this is what, you know, it came through. I was happened to be in the studio, and I said, yo, I got something for you, you know, and that was it.
Was you there when they recorded that?
I was across the hall.
Oh. So who recorded? Rock wasn't there either?
No. Nope.
Oh, damn. You missed a historical session.
No, I wasn't, because when it was done, I went to go listen to it.
Oh, okay.
I went across the hall, they played it, whatever like that, and that whole shit, like, put some more beat back on it. That was talking to me.
Oh, okay. And then he ended up doing Throw Your Hands Up for Jay-Z after that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When he did Fades Them All.
Right.
I was like,
I didn't know nothing about that. I heard that in a party.
Word?
I had no clue about that song.
Wow.
And that was him and Reggie.
Yeah, because when I heard that, I was like,
It sounds just like me.
Yo, that's what I was saying. I was like, nah, that's not Eric Sermon, though. But then I was like, who the fuck is Rockwilder?
Yeah.
I didn't know who that was. But
Rockwilder was, again, first where Redman had found rock way in the 90s, in the beginning. And then that was, don't worry, but that's the business that's calling
for
Doggy Diamonds.
We here.
Because is that TMZ? Yeah. We're going back.
Yeah.
He had found him in the early 90s, and then he had put him on. Because Rock was a rapper, too, a nice rapper.
So
he was on Reggie's Muddy Waters album, the classic album. He was on Muddy Waters as a rapper.
Yeah. How Keith Murray, and how do y'all all mesh personalities?
Nah, just the fact that it's just under me, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, if I'm the boss, then whatever goes. Like if Puffy had a company with this and that, whatever. It's like, you know, this is how it's gonna be. This is how we rolling. Same with the Hit Squad. Whatever this is solo. Hey, that's Nas Effect. Hey, that's whatever.
Yeah,
it's whatever. You know.
What about the white kids y'all had? The Knuckleheads was there?
That wasn't a real.
You dead serious?
That was real good. That was one of my friends from school. And I don't know what that.
Holy shit, he just cleared up the illest rumor ever. That wasn't a real group.
To me, it wasn't.
Oh, but it was a group,
Yeah, it was a group, yeah.
This is the last question, I promise, but I could talk to you all day. The most beautiful is, that's Between the Sheets, right?
Yep.
You replayed it?
Yep.
How the fuck
did all of them won that year. Biggie, Keith Murray, and the Brat. All three had that sample. We all won.
Yeah, but your shit killed it, though. Cause you had
no, but they all sold a million records.
Yeah, but was that the Trey Emerald drums on that one? How the fuck did you get that sound? What key?
It was a Rhodes. It was just a regular.
It was an
M1. And don't forget, there's really no bass line in there. There was just the Rhodes was doing most of the work. That was it.
Yo, you murdered.
Don't forget, there's two records. If you listen to the remix. The remix has all the same sounds that the one you heard with Between the Sheets in it. Only thing I took out was the other sample, the main sample, and then put that on there. But everything in it, the Bootsy, the scratches, the Brand Nubians, everything's in there. And again, at the end of the day, it was like I was just trying something.
It was just
again to try it, just to see if it worked, not knowing it was gonna work, because I already had a version.
Work. You know what was your sleeper beat that people slept on? Fucking Funkarama, man.
What do you mean, the remix?
The video version.
Oh, Funkarama. Okay, Funkarama, my bad. I think it's about Rockefeller.
Funkarama, man. Oh, man.
But that was Jimmy Iovine, though. That was something I did with Interscope, and that
That's the Eric Onassis.
Right. No, that was Insomnia.
That was more like a compilation.
Compilation, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah, that bass line and that shit. And Q-Tip, he just so happened to say, you can swear, where, man, that shit was just so
dope. For him
dope.
To be in the video was dope. He came down. Yeah. That was dope. Yeah.
What was it about y'all in black and white videos, Redman, at like one point?
I don't know.
Yeah, you ever notice that?
That's still Brett Ratner.
Okay.
The famous movie star, you know, is getting the Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3, Brett Ratner. That was something that he did, you know.
How do you feel like video right now? You can shoot a video for like $400.
Yeah, no. I think that if I do videos and I got a chance to tell my camp to do videos, I want to do videos how we did it back then, where if I said MC's jumping out shoes and socks, I want to see shoes and socks. I think that the video should match the song.
You got to chill. It's so ill, man.
The video should match the song. I just think that everything, too, with the records, the verse should match the chorus. I don't understand this is where this is. And it's not hatred. It's just the fact, like, where's the creativity? Where's the thought process?
Yeah.
You know, there's no thought process. Like, this is, you know, because, again, I can actually say pool table.
Yeah.
Hit the ball in the hole.
Yeah.
White ball with the black ball. Green ball at the pool table. Yeah. We at the pool table. Take a shot.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of rappers show their jewelry. How much money did you spend in jewelry in your life?
I didn't have that. Well, we had chains in the beginning, though, but.
So you gave up on, yeah, you had some shit, though.
Yeah, but we had whatever the game had, you know, from the time we was there. Cuban links, the Mercedes Benz. thing. That's the same stuff that everybody else had. We had it.
You had a Rolex.
But we had Rolexes early, though.
Yeah, you said that he loved it. I had Rolex when I was 17. Yeah, early. I remember you said that on the radio and shit.
Early we had those.
So, yo, man, we going to do part 20, 30. Don't worry. You're going to get used to seeing us doing a lot of shit, man. It's Doggy Diamonds, No Filter. It's the legendary Eric Sermon, E-Double, Eric Onassis, Funk Lord.
Peace. All of those names.
Yeah, we out here. Peace. Oh, Green Eye Bandit. That's what most people call you, too. You know that, right?
Yeah, and a lot of white folks too. A lot of white men, when they see me at the airport or see me at stores, they be like, "Hey, the Green Eye Bandit."
You know? Crazy.
And that's the weirdest part ever. Paris just happened to say that in crossover. Yeah. Don't know why he said that. I didn't ask him to do that. I just said, "Who am I?" He said, "ED the Green Eye Bandit." Wow. Didn't know where that came from.
Yeah. We out of here. Peace. All right, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word, talk about it. Argue with me, I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds, I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace.
Doggy Diamonds did this. This.